prayers and for all your support and your prayers throughout the year. It really is an encouragement to always think of you here. And now to be here and see each other face to face is also a great blessing. We've been in Toluca in Mexico for about a little over 7 years, and Lord willing, we should be moving to a new city, Puebla, in the next couple of months, and I'm real excited about that, and we do covet your prayers for this new city. It's a very big city, but it's a great challenge, and we're excited. And the church in Toluca is doing really well, and by God's grace, there's a good group of people meeting in the Lord's name, and I'm thankful because the women I've seen them grow over the last year or so, and especially the pastor, his wife, her name is Norma, and she's grown a lot in the last year. She's taking a lot more responsibility with the women's ministries and different things, and she's a woman who's very shy, very timid. But she really is stepping up to the plate, and it is a difficult thing sometimes, especially when there's strong women in the church or women that maybe have a different personality than her. But she's coming along really well, and I just ask you to continue to pray for her and her husband. He's been a pastor there for almost a year, and that the Lord would just continue to establish that church and strengthen them. I also want to thank the Lord for a new coworker that I have, Stephen's wife, Adi. She is just a blessing. I know y'all haven't met her yet, but she is really a great young woman. She's an encouragement to me. She's faithful. She's happy. She makes Steve happy, so that makes all of us happy. And he's eating a lot better, and he's not. But she's a great girl, and I'm so thankful the Lord brought. I don't know. The Lord just brings everything right in His time, and it's always. I don't know. It came at a great time for me. I know He did it for Steve, but it has helped me out a lot. And I'm thankful for that. I'd like to read in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. First John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." And you know, tonight I'm just so thankful for these simple truths that just really keep us going, that keep the ministry and the work fresh. To be reminded, and this was a blessing to me that I wanted to share with y'all tonight, is that, praise the Lord, we do have a message. There is a message for the people that are out in this world that don't have the Lord, that do not have a Savior. And it says here, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And this is the message, that God is light. And when I think of light, I think of truth and knowledge and perfection. And that's all that God is. And it says that in Him is no darkness at all. And so this is part of the message. I think that that is such a clear message. Nothing that we have to worry about inventing in our own words or in our own knowledge. But this is the exact message that God has for sinners, is that because there's no darkness in Him, a sinner cannot approach that light on his own merit. He abides in darkness and falsehood and ignorance and sin. Everything that darkness is the opposite of what God is, which is light. But praise the Lord for the message, and our message is Jesus, that He is the light, and we share this only hope that there is. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, it talks a little bit more about Jesus being this light, and I'm so thankful for this. In John 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Praise the Lord. And in chapter 12 of John and verse 46, John 12:46 says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And you know, this is just such a blessing to me. This has really refreshed my spirit, and just a reminder of this great message that we have, is that Jesus is the light. And it says right here that's why He came, that he who believes on Him should not abide in darkness. And then I thought, well, who is this message for? And obviously, who are the recipients? And as it says there, those who abide and walk in darkness, they need the light of life. And praise the Lord for that we do have a message. And And then thinking about the messenger earth, which is anybody who wants to share this message, and we're called to share this message. This is our duty. What is their responsibility? Well, back to 1 John 1, where I read at the beginning, is that it says, which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Obviously, this first has to be heard by the messenger. And the messenger obviously does not write or compose the message, but this message changed the messenger's life to begin with. And so now they carry and declare the same message unto somebody else so they can believe on the author of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. And then after hearing it, then the next step is to declare it to somebody else. And, you know, I know these are just basic truths, but I'm thankful for this, that this is just what we've been called. We're not anything special. A missionary really isn't a special person. It's just a duty, a responsibility, and actually a privilege to be able to declare this wonderful message that God has for sinners. And thinking about declaring this and what the duty is of a messenger, I believe that it is just a duty. The messenger shouldn't be looking for glory. I read a preacher's sermon notes, and he mentioned something about like Western Union. I know we don't really have that these days with the instant message and everything, but when they would bring messages, Western Union, the focus of the importance was not who's that messenger and tell me about yourself and what is so great about you, why do you deserve to be the messenger, but rather the question is, what is the message? What do you have for me? What is in your hand? What message is it that you bring? And I praise the Lord for that. I think that it's a refreshing thing to think about, that it's nothing in us, it's God. It's his message that is going to change people's lives. And again, the messenger takes no fault or credit for that message or the reaction to that message. Yes, sometimes we're privileged enough to see the reaction and to see the way that God, wow, opens somebody's eyes in that moment. There's nothing like it. And sometimes we see other reactions where people are hostile and they don't understand it at that moment. But the duty is still the same, nonetheless. It's to deliver that message in its entirety and truthfully. And then I thought about the purpose or the results, what comes from this message, what comes from delivering it. And wow, what a great thing that comes from it. In that same chapter in verse 3, in 1 John 1, 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for this, that somebody who was out of fellowship with God can now be in fellowship with God. Somebody that was separated, that was in darkness, can now be in the light. This is the purpose of this message, that they may have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that they can also have fellowship with fellow believers. This is a wonderful family that anyone who believes is brought into. We're adopted. We're just all part of this great big family. It's the only thing really that we have in common is the gospel, the message that we have. This is what brings us together this week and every other week, I think, in Poland, in Mexico, all over the world. What believers come together, the root, the core of their fellowship is this message, is the gospel that God has given to us to take to the world. And I praise the Lord for that. I was recently blessed a lot with a testimony of a sister in Toluca. She doesn't share very often in the open meetings, but when she does, she always mentions this fellowship that she has now. Ever since she got saved, she has lost fellowship with her carnal family. They don't want to talk to her. They don't want to be around her anymore. They don't invite her to the family dinners. But boy, she's so joyful and thankful that she has a new family and fellowship that is sweet and constant and something in common that will never go away, and that's that we're all saved from our sins by the blood of Christ. And this gospel, the message, is the reason for our fellowship. I'd like to look in Psalm chapter 66. I praise the Lord that he allows us to be a part of declaring this message. This is an awesome thing. This is a wondrous thing that he allows us to have fellowship in this gospel, that we can help this gospel to be spread across the world. In chapter 66 of Psalms, in verse 16, it says, Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. You know, this is it. Somebody says, well, how do I declare it? I think this is a great example of how to do it.
Amen.
You call someone, you invite them. You know what? Can you come and hear? Can you come and just hear and not see what he's done for my health or my wealth, but come and hear what he's done for my soul? I think there's nothing like that testimony and the preaching of the word that can truly catch somebody's ear. And if they can get to the point where they truly fear God, where it says, like it says here, all ye that fear God, if they can get to the point where they have a little bit of fear in them, of, okay, yeah, there is a God who made me. What does he have to say to me? And he said, well, you know what? Why don't you come and hear what he's done for my soul and what he can do for yours? And then that's when we tell them what he has done for my soul. And I praise the Lord that he has saved and redeemed and cleansed my soul from sin, and that he can do the same for anyone out there that will come and fear him and fear what his word says. And Psalm 96 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 96 and verse 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. And I thank the Lord that he has done wonders for my soul. And if he has done all these things for my soul, it is my duty and my privilege to declare this message to others so that they can now walk in light, in the newness of light, and they don't have to be abiding in darkness anymore. I praise the Lord for all that he's done, for the amount of light that he's allowed me to see that has come into others' lives. It truly is a privilege. It's a blessing. And I just pray that the Lord will just help me to always keep this fresh in my mind. Praise the Lord, we have a message. And this message Amen. Is for those who abide in darkness. There's still many, many in darkness. But he wants to bring them into his marvelous light. And I thank him for how his light has really changed my life.
Amen. Amen.